talking to me about something that I trust will be a blessing and a help to us as we go from here. I'd like to look beginning in Psalms 107th chapter. Psalms 107, beginning in the 23rd verse, says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses." You ever felt like you're at your wits' end? You know, this is talking about those that go down to the sea. Those that are seamen, those that are experienced at doing exactly that. But you know, it gives the illusion here that they're no match, even themselves, for what the sea can hold. For the storms that can come, and we see it with the disciples at a time in their life where they were just sure that this is the end, this is where it all ends right here. We're going down for sure. Now, no doubt they had been in the ships before and been across the sea, but there was something that was too much for them here. You know, there's none of us that's really a match for life of ourselves. It says that as life, if you will, begins to unfold, as the waves and the storm begins to beat, and the ship begins to heave to and fro, it says that their hearts are melted within them. Their soul, they reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man. I don't have my balance now. I don't have my bearings about me. I'm not able to think clearly here. I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to fix this situation. I don't know how to get myself through this now. I'm in over my head here. Don't we see that all around in our world today? We see so much turmoil and unrest and upheaval and society that's just in, it seems like, constant conflict. And people's hearts are failing them for fear. What's going on around us? What's coming on our nation? And you know there's reason to be concerned. There's reason for us to be troubled. But it says they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. My little burden for us tonight, and believes a simple one, about the peace of God. You know, the Lord has a place for every one of us of a desired haven, as we sang about. The Lord had given me a song a number of weeks ago, and thought about singing it at different places or at home, and it just never seemed like the time was right. It felt like the Lord inspired me with it this evening. The Lord has a haven of rest for every one of us. The Lord has a place if we'll call upon him in life's distresses. If whenever the waves and the storms come, I fix my eyes upon the Lord. He has a way of bringing us into a place of making the storm a calm around us. Well, not really around us so much as within us. Then I'd like to consider that thought a bit more. Here, turn with me, if you would, to the 14th chapter of John. Familiar exchange of Jesus with his disciples. John 14 and the 27th verse. It said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You ever hear someone say, well, that's easier said than done? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But you know the Lord does have a desired haven for us that we can anchor our souls in. And Jesus said, if you'll remember in Isaiah, it said in prophecy of Jesus, said he would be called the Prince of what? The Prince of Peace. And he said, as he was soon to be departing this world, he said unto his disciples that he had come to die for, and all those that believe on his name after, I've come to give you something. You remember in another place he said in prayer to his Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil that's in the world. The disciples, as we see throughout Scripture, had an expectation of Jesus, of the Messiah, of what the Messiah would do, that he would come and surely the Messiah will deliver us from the bondage of the Roman government, from their oppression, from the taxes that they're exacting of us and all of that. That's what our Messiah has come to do. He's going to set up his throne and rule and reign, and that must surely mean that he's going to give us peace in our land around us. Well, that's what we read in the Old Testament. Whenever the Lord, Scripture says, the Lord gave them almost always, you see, whenever there was a king that followed wholly after the Lord, and it'll say something to the effect that, and the Lord gave them peace, calm in their time, in the land round about them. The Lord gave them peace from their enemies, from their oppressors, from the wars that would ravage them. And that's where their mind was. Then I want someone that'll deliver us and raise us up out of this. But Jesus said, I don't come to give you the peace that the world gives you. The world tries to obtain peace by means of war, by means of treaties, by means of diplomacy and all of those things. But how fleeting and short-lived. Jesus came to do something so much greater than that. And we understand those things. That Jesus came to not just give us one song that says something about far too well the Father loves thee, to let your life be one long, calm, unbroken summer, or something to that effect. The Lord didn't come to take us out of a troubled world yet. But he came to give us a plan and a grace and a spirit that'll keep us right in the midst of it. So I begin to realize and understand that this desired haven, it's not about the Lord bringing us into a place of our lives where our lives become untouched by difficulty, trouble, and distress. That's not the calm and the desired haven that the Lord has. Yes, the Lord is able to speak peace be still to the waves out there. In my circumstances, we can bring those to the Lord. But the Lord is more interested, I believe, in calming the waves that are inside, instilling the distress that's in my heart. 16th chapter as well. The 33rd verse, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In me you shall have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. And yet Jesus said, I pray not that you remove them from the world. Folks, we need to be in a place, as the song says, I'm abiding in Jesus. There's a place in the Lord, with a Prince of Peace enthroned within my heart, that he gives me that peace right in the midst of tribulation, difficulty, distress, and despair that the world fears at and their heart melts at. Scripture says speaking of the last days, I believe it was prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem, and it seemed to transition into prophecy of the last days, that men's hearts would be failing them for fear, for those things that are coming on the face of the earth. You remember what Jesus said? When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I've got something different for you than what the world has. The world's trying to find their peace. Our nation is trying to seek for peace in the Middle East, have been for many years. But it really only comes, like the song we heard earlier in the meeting, the only real peace I found, dear Lord, is in you. And until a heart is enthroned by the Prince of Peace, it's a shallow peace that surrounds us. The true peace is the peace that we can find within our hearts. So it is that the Scripture says in Romans, the 14th chapter, I believe we heard this Scripture quoted in the meeting, Romans 14 and 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." As the disciples were looking for a literal kingdom to be set up and all of our literal enemies to be overthrown and overthrown and all of the things that would disturb and distress us, it'd be something, all right, if we had a God, a religion of the sort that I can turn to Him. Lord, my neighbor's giving me trouble, Lord. Get rid of him. And the trouble's gone. Well, I just can't stand my boss, Lord. And the next day, my boss is fired. Well, Lord, you see my marriage trouble. Well, folks, the Lord has come to do something so much better than that for us. Not to just come and remove every obstacle out of our way, but to give us something within us that keeps us right in the midst of the trouble and the distress. Scripture says in Isaiah, the 57th chapter, I want to just consider some of the characteristics and requirements of this peace. Isaiah 57 and the 19th verse says, "I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Here's the source of our peace. There is no peace to the wicked, though they try to remove those negativities out of their life, try to remove the problems and separate themselves from the problem, try to create this haven for themselves. It doesn't work. There is no peace to the wicked. Part of the message that the angels came bearing to tell of the birth of Jesus was peace on earth. Want to be reconciled unto God and make that way possible, that within your heart the separation from God that you've had can be mended and made whole with your Creator. That is the peace that passes understanding. We were out in Colorado a month or two ago. Went whitewater rafting and had a number of rapids that he helped us navigate through. It wasn't class 3, I think, rapids, but was asking him about it once we got to some of the calm stretches, and he said the most troubled water, the most severe rapids, many times are an indication that the water's shallow there. That there's not a whole lot of depth, and it's shallow, maybe just barely covering the boulders or the things that are underneath, and it casts up the water, and it foams, and it boils, and you go through that, and that's what adds to the excitement for those that are doing it for that. But you know, in our lives, I was thinking about that and believe there's a parallel for us. You know, the Lord has a place of a depth in our walk with Him that He wants to bring us to, where I'm not just living in a shallow experience. I'm not just living by feeling, by emotion. I'm not just living from one camp meeting maybe to the next, but begin to get some depth down in my relationship with the Lord. That the water is not so troubled and foaming within my heart and my life. Scripture says in James that a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all his ways. There's no real stability there into a double-minded man. Folks, the Lord wants us to settle it. To settle it in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, I'm going all the way with you. Lord, I want to have some depth to my experience and my relationship with you. Psalms 119. Psalm and verse 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I took note in this meeting of a little comment that was made. Something to the effect that, well, this may seem simple, but this is the answer. The answers are found within the Word of God. Great peace have they that love thy law. Whenever we get into circumstances and situations of life, folks, the Lord wants us to have our eyes in the right place. Not to have our eyes fixed on the circumstances around us like Peter did. The Lord's been challenging me. I care much, as I believe probably all of us do, about our country. I care deeply about what's ahead for my children in this country. I care about the freedoms that we enjoy that have been bought with a price. And you know, I care about what happens in November. I have something that I suspect you probably have too. An opinion. You know, I have found myself, as this election process and season has unfolded, find myself very interested in what's going on and who's saying what and what are the polls showing now and what's happening over here and how was this speech taken and what happened out of this convention. And you know, I found that it was doing something to me. Found that it was stirring me up and troubling me. And I found that that's where my mind was just kept going to. Well, I've got to, maybe there's another poll that's out now. Well, maybe there's something. And folks, our peace is not going to be found in circumstances. It cannot. Yes. Our peace cannot rest in who's elected in November. Our peace cannot be founded in the circumstances of life around us. And I want to just encourage us. Maybe you've already found that place of just committing it all to the Lord. But I want to encourage us over the next 60 days or so of this process. Folks, keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's keep our eyes on the law of the Lord. When I begin to feel troubled, and I'm not saying that we just stick our head in the sand and we're going to go and have a Church of God commune somewhere. Again, he said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. But there's a way of the Lord keeping us. And if we find that our peace is being disturbed, part of my burden has been, Lord, how do we safeguard our peace? Because it's valuable. Folks, it's something you can't go down to the store and buy. You're not going to be able to find it in this world. The world is searching for themselves. We've had a number of commodities over the last 6 months that you go to the grocery store and what do you find on the shelves? Nothing. Folks, you're not going to go stock up on peace in the world. You're not going to go stock up on peace in the news. You're not going to go stock up on peace by the things that are going on around us, on the radio, on the papers, on the internet. We're not going to find it there. Great peace have they that love thy law. Lord, help me to absorb this within. The answers are here. I need sometimes my perspective to be rearranged. I can become so troubled and so upset and so distressed by the things that are happening around us. The election's just one example. But there can be many circumstances in our lives. Lord, you see what's going on here. Lord, I need an answer here. Lord, I need something to change here. I need something moved and taken care of. And Lord, what's going to happen here? What's the song say? I no trouble nor sorrow see today, nor will I borrow. Something to that effect. You know, the enemy wants to just load us down and rob our peace from us. Of questions, of doubts, of fears. What may be coming, what may be happening. Lord, what's going to happen in this circumstance and in this situation? I'd like to read a scripture in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32 and 17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." It sounds like a place I want to live. And the Lord has such a place as that. It says that the work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness, working within our heart, in our lives, brings peace within us. Remember, if I can share this story with you, I remember working with a man who had some real deep needs in his life that he hadn't been willing to deal with. He'd gone through his life with, I believe, a profession that was pretty shallow. Some deep needs that his family saw, that his congregation saw, that people around him saw. He's deceased now. But it seemed like he wasn't able to see it. Well, he came down to a point in his life where he became very sick. And his desire was to trust the Lord. Folks, that's scriptural. But he went about it the wrong way. Folks, there's more to living for the Lord than just fitting ourselves into a form. There's more to living for the Lord than just saying, I'm going to just do what the saints expect of me. There's more to trusting the Lord than saying, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. But I remember this brother had believed the Lord was trying to work in his life and trying to deal with some of these places that he hadn't really been willing to deal with. And remember, it seemed like all he could say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not going to take this and I'm not going to take that. And yet he was so distressed. Well, what can I find that's natural? And what can I do here? And what can I do there? And well, is that technically medication? And folks, the work of righteousness is peace within our heart. There's more to trust than an experience like that. The Lord wants us to be in a place where there's a committing to the Lord. My life, everything that I have, for we can be in a situation, in a circumstance like that, where I'm trying to do all the right things, and yet I'm just in turmoil, and in strife, and churning, and can't hardly lay down and rest at night. The thoughts are just disturbing my peace. Folks, the enemy is targeting our peace. It's valuable. Again, you can't just go buy it. But Jesus said, I give this to you. It's only found in me. I give you this peace. And the enemy is diametrically opposed to everything that Jesus is. And he wants to come in and try to undermine and take away the very things that the Lord has given us. I want to encourage us in our walk with the Lord that I'd be able to be in a place where I commit myself unto him. The scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Commit your way unto the Lord, where I give it to him. Again, easier said than done, but that's the work of grace that the Lord works within our heart to help us to be able to commit it to the Lord. Lord, you see this thing has been tearing me up. Lord, you see this thing, I can't think about anything else. It's destroying my peace, Lord. This is a load I need to come and bring to you. The scripture says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Let us therefore labor, let us determine to enter into that rest in our lives. You remember one of the requirements it says there in the fourth chapter of Hebrews? He that has entered into this rest must cease from his own works. You know, it can seem like to us, Lord, I know exactly what needs to happen here. This has got to happen, and they have to do that, and this has to take place, and I'm going to try to make it fit together and try to make it happen, and I think I know the answer, and all the while I'm just in turmoil, and I don't know, maybe you can relate. I've had different times in my life where I've wanted something. I've wanted a certain answer. I've wanted something to happen. And I'll just give you one example. Just a trivial, temporal thing. You know, sometimes it's the small things that can begin to eat away at our peace. Now, remember, I had a vehicle I wanted to sell. Well, I wanted another vehicle. And I had my eye on one that I wanted, but I needed to sell the one that I had first. And I tried to sell that vehicle as wanted this better and nicer one. And it was at a time when we really didn't need to be worrying about a better and nicer vehicle anyway. But I wanted it. And I tried to make that happen. I put signs on it. I left it in the parking lots. I put it on Craigslist. I advertised it every way I knew. And I had, if I remember right, over 20 people who said, I want it. I'm going to come see it. I'm going to test drive it. I want that vehicle. And I get my hopes up. And finally, and I'd even go, the poor man that owned this vehicle I was wanting to buy, I'd call him up and say, sir, I think I've got it sold. Can I come test drive it again? Well, yeah, come on out. Next day, the sale falls through again. Oh, what's going on here? And I try again. That went on for months and months. I'm ashamed to say I lost some valuable time that I could have been spending with the Lord worrying about this situation. You know, again, sometimes it's those small things that the enemy wants us to focus on. That I think I need, I think I want, I think needs to be worked out this way. And it wasn't until I came to the place to say, Lord, if you don't want this, Lord, I give this to you. And you know, the Lord brought me into a rest. The Lord gave me a peace down in my heart again that the enemy had been nibbling away at. And you know, when the time came that I believe the Lord would have me to go ahead and sell the vehicle, you know, it sold in a matter of hours. Folks, we can commit our way unto the Lord. To commit it. To give it to the Lord. Not to try to carry it with us and force it and it won't go and I try shoving a little bit harder and there's a better way than that. I hope you don't have to learn the hard and stubborn way like I've had to learn sometimes. But the Lord has a place of peace. Great peace have they that love thy law. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and not on circumstances, situations. Well, maybe it sounds good, but I don't know how to do that. Isaiah 26, verse 3, says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Have you found in your life the enemy trying to target your ability to spend time with the Lord? Quality, get alone with the Lord time. You know, the enemy knows the value of prayer. The enemy knows the value of us getting away and getting alone with the Lord. Asaph talked about in the 73rd Psalm, "The Lord's good to me. But as for me," good to Israel, "but as for me, my feet had well nigh slipped. I had become so discouraged and in despair, looking around at this circumstance and that and this wicked one and these that are going about, and it seems like they're running every way but the Lord's way, and yet things are going well for them in their life. It's just not right. It's not, that can't be." And he said, "Until I came unto the house of the Lord, then I remembered their end." Folks, we've got to have that place with the Lord. We're going to need it through this election cycle. We're going to need it in the months that follow, whoever is in office. We're going to need to be able to have that haven of rest with the Lord that I can come to regardless of the storms that are going on around, that I can get alone with the Lord. Lord, help me to commit this to you. Lord, help me to see this in the right way. Our perspective sometimes can get so distorted sometimes, where I look at something and I think it's got to be this way and it's got to be by this time. And oh no, if it doesn't. And the Lord's saying, "I've got 1,000 other ways to take care of that. But you just can't see it. It seems like this day or this 2 weeks or whatever, however long, that it seems like it's eternity. But my child, you don't know eternity. I dwell in eternity. I've got a purpose that I'm working." And the enemy would like to wool us around. If he can't completely dethrone us, he wants to work at nibbling away little by little at the peace within our hearts. Perfect peace have they who love thy law. And this says, whose mind is stayed on thee. Lord, help us to replace some of those nagging thoughts of doubt, of worry, of fear. The Lord doesn't just leave a vacuum. He wants to fill it in its place by thinking on the goodness of God, on the faithfulness of God, on the times that He has answered prayer. You know, there's a peace that comes with that. Colossians, the third chapter, we'll finish here shortly. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." What does that word "let" generally imply? Whose action is it talking about here? Me. Allow the peace of God to rule in your heart and in your life. To rule is more than just, I get a temporary, fleeting, oh, we got some relief here. Folks, the world tries to find their peace, their satisfaction. Sometimes it's in sports. If my team wins, I got the peace. Oh, I am in my element now for a little bit until they lose. Oh, no. No, folks, the Lord has something better for us. To anchor our hope and our trust and our faith in, then that let the peace of God rule in our hearts and in our lives. Not again to say we're not going to have difficulty, trials, that we're not sometimes going to struggle. Lord, I don't know what to do with this thing. But that I bring it to the Lord and allow His peace to rule in my heart. I'd like to close in Philippians, 4th chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful or anxious, worried, fearful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, what a privilege we have to bring everything to God in prayer. Someone get that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, or maybe you remember it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. You want to lead us in that verse, wouldn't mind? That scripture, it says, come unto me, is not just to the sinner. We have the privilege and the call. Come unto me, ye that labor, ye that struggle, ye that are in turmoil and mind and spirit and distressed in spirit. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Bring it to me. Bring your burdens and your needs and your problems and your circumstances. You don't have to bring it to me all figured out and all fixed and I got it all together now. Just bring it to me. The loose ends and the broken pieces and everything else. And bring it to the Lord and commit it to Him. What a privilege we have to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, I pray that the Lord would keep every one of us throughout the days and months and year to come. Lord, keep our hearts established and settled. And perhaps there are, I trust, things that we've gotten out of this meeting. Lord, keep my heart. Keep my mind stayed on You. It says, the peace of God will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord has that peace for every one of us. Lord, help us as we go from here to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Those things that would crop up, that would try to rob it again, that I bring those things to the Lord, that I carry those things to the Lord, and not try to carry it on my shoulders. Folks, our shoulders are only made so wide. Heard someone say just recently, the scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's not referring so much to being like the pillar of a bridge holding it all up as it is to my wedding. We had a Bible bearer, someone who would bear the Bible, would carry it. Carry the burdens to the Lord. Carry them to the Lord. That the peace of God may be able, doesn't mean that the problem is fixed, that the storm is over, but there's a calm inside. There's a peace inside, and that's what the world is missing so much around us. The Lord would have us to be that savor to the world around us, to be able to see and realize, you know what, they go through the same things that I go through, but there's something that keeps them. There's something about their spirit right in the midst of that. Well, let's get the next scripture. I believe goes along with the how do I do it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want to ask you a question. How much of today's media would fit into this category? Just want to leave us with that thought, that challenge. Folks, where do we have our eyes fixed? Let's keep our eyes on the Lord, on the Prince of Peace, on the one that has the answer to it all. It's easier, again, to say than to do. But folks, we can do much more on our knees than we can with our hands. We can do much more on our knees than we can with our mouths. Lord, help us to resort there first. To bring it to the Lord in prayer. To commit it to the Lord. I look at circumstances that are beyond my control. And you know those things can eat at me and eat at me and eat at me. And there's nothing I can do about it. I have only one vote I can cast this November. You know I have one that I can talk to. And bring this to and say, Lord, you are the one that's able to turn the king's heart. Lord, you're able to turn the hearts of men. You're able to extend mercy to us as a nation. You're able to work in ways that confound the politicians, that confound the pundits, that confound the media, that confound... Lord, you're able. And sometimes I have found in my life that I've started subconsciously looking at prayer as a last resort. Oh, well, you know what? I guess I better pray about this. May the Lord help us that we look to the Lord and make that the place that we come to and we find in Him that haven of rest. You pray for me. May God bless each one of you. Amen.